So praise God. Are you ready for the word this morning? 2 Corinthians 2:14, say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I want to emphasize always leads. Always, he always leads us. God is always in front of us. He's always before you. I like it that after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples and he says, I go before you to Galilee, meet me there. And he just vanishes. And the disciples had a choice. Now, do I stay where I am or do I go to where he told me he's going? See, wherever you feel like God is taking you, God is already there. And he's saying to you, catch up. Catch up with me. Follow after me. If you want to get to where Jesus is, you've got to follow him. He's always out in front. He is always leading us into the blessing, leading us into the victory, leading us into the things that he has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen. I want to say to you this morning that I have presidential authority to say to you, Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if this means we've won the war spiritually or culturally or not. I'm not going to go that far. But think about this. I know we have a president who is not ashamed of Christmas. And we've had Republican and Democrat presidents in the past that were almost hesitant to say Merry Christmas or awkward at saying Merry Christmas. I praise God we've got a president now that is not ashamed of Christmas. Now, I say that for this. Christmas is not a holiday event, regardless of all the ads and Black Friday and all the stuff on TV right now. Christmas is not a time for giving and receiving gifts. If you celebrate Christmas, you are celebrating the Christ Mass. That's what Christmas is. It's a condensed form of Christ Mass, Christ worship, or worship of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Deliverer. That's what Christmas is. It is a worship of him. It literally comes from Catholicism, where it's the Mass of Christ, the worship of Christ. And often in the Christmas season, we forget that. Or we as Christians, we're kind of ashamed of it. We just want to say, Merry Christmas. We kind of want to keep it cool. But Christmas is the worship of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the Messiah made man. Those who wish to make Christ's Mass disappear are God-haters. They are denying the worship of the Deliverer, the Messiah, specifically of Jesus. In place of the true Messiah, they have set up a false god of man's wisdom. That's why they don't like Christ Mass. They'd rather have man's wisdom Mass. They would have us gather around the world, the altar of PC speak. See, we're going to talk about wisdom today. The wisdom of men, get this, the wisdom of men is always politically correct. PC may be a new term within the last 20 years or so, but man's wisdom has always been PC. It's always been politically correct. There's always been the arbitrators of speech that say, well, if you say this, then you'll be accepted. But if you go counter to this, we will reject you. Jesus was not PC. He came after the king. He came after the religious leaders of his day. He came after tradition of men. He said the tradition of men make the word of God of no effect. He said the reason why God's word, God's spirit isn't working for you is because you have covered it up with the traditions of men, and therefore the word of God has no power because you're busy doing what is politically correct and God doesn't have access to you. Ouch. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Verses 34 through 38. Mark 8, 34. It says, when Jesus had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, now he's saying this to the disciples, but he's also saying it to everybody else. He says, that means to you and me, whoever desires to come after me, see, we're talking about follow, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if we're going to come after Jesus, we've got to follow him. We've got to deny ourself and take up his cross, not our cross. It's his cross. Take up his cross and follow after him. Now, he goes on to say, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For now listen to this. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. Who would ever have thought that to wish someone a Merry Christmas would have caused such a stir? In your wildest imagination. I mean, when we say Merry Christmas, we're saying, bless you. Have a merry worship of Jesus, of the Messiah. Enjoy the salvation of the Lord our God. I'm just not going to enjoy it. No, not me. How dare you tell me to bless, be blessed? How dare you? It's like, even when someone sneezes, it's no longer PC to say bless you. Because that entails calling on a deity. And we just can't do that. Because if you call on any deity, you toss the wisdom of man off the throne. But if you apply to the deity, you are placing one on the throne, not just knocking someone off. And Christianity and Judaism are the only ones that do that, to replace the deity of man, of humanity, with the deity of God, the creator and the savior of the world. Go to Romans chapter 1. We are not among those who are ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. That means for the religious Jew and also for the Gentile that has no idea who God is. He said, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. In our day, in this message, I'm applying it, that we are not ashamed of the mass of Christ. We are not ashamed to worship the Savior and the Lord of our lives. Amen. Because it is the power of God to salvation for he who believes, for the Jew first, but also for the Gentile. The Gentiles can turn. The Gentiles can get into this. The Gentiles can walk into blessing. We're not exclusive. We're not saying to people, you can't enter in. No, it's for everyone who chooses to believe. For in verse 17 says, for in it, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, in the gospel, not only is it the power of salvation, it is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus from faith to faith. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you haven't been following me in your Bible, you got a lot of page turning to do. Where is 1 Corinthians? Well, it's right before 2 Corinthians. And there's not a 3 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Now, there's a lot of preaching, but it's with the wisdom of words. This is what PC is the wisdom of words. We use the right language. Let me give you an example of what PC is. Has anybody ever read a legal document? Can anybody tell me what that legal document says? 99.9% of the time, you can't. Because it's written in lawyerese. It's written so that lawyers understand it. And it's written in such a way that lawyers can twist it and get out of the binding agreement you just signed. When my dad got married the second time, his wife had a substantial amount of money, and she wanted to be sure to keep that money for her two kids, and she didn't want dad to get any of it. Well, what she didn't realize is dad didn't want her money. and neither did me or my sister. Her money, we felt like was her money. It belonged to her. But she was so afraid. She signed they had a prenuptial agreement that her money was her money and dad's was dad's money. And so when they went out to eat, dad would pay for supper sometimes and she would pay for supper sometimes. And they'd split the bills and do all this financially feasible stuff. When it came down when dad had to go into the nursing home, she was real concerned because she said, we have a prenuptial agreement. Doesn't that protect me from having to use any of my money to help my father in the nursing home? And this is what the lawyers told her. That prenuptial agreement means absolutely nothing in a court of law. Even though it is signed, attested, this is ironclad. You cannot break this. Your money is yours. No, I'm sorry. Prenuptial agreements are worthless. Just like a lot of deeds that you sign until you have it paid off, read the fine print. At any point in time, the bank can repossess your property or your car.
That's right.
At any given time, for any reason, you can be paying your payments 100%. You can even be ahead in your payment, but the clause is in there. We can reclaim it anytime we want to. Why? It's not really yours. You are using it at the permission of the bank. And when the bank chooses, they can call it back in. It gets scary. But the bank, we signed a 20-year lease on my house. The bank, no, they can come in after a year. They can come in after 19 and a half years and repossess your house and take it away from you legally because it's all written for the lawyers. It's all written to benefit themselves and to benefit the sellers, not you. That's why when you buy a house through a bank, you usually pay at least 2.5 times the value of the house. And then they tell you you've got equity in it. You don't have any equity. You bought a $100,000 home. You paid $250,000 for it. You didn't get any equity out of it. Because when you sell it, you're going to sell it for $125,000. That's still double what you paid the bank to get it. Now you begin to understand why the Bible says, owe no man nothing. Mm-hmm. Stay out of debt. I mean, sometimes you have to go into debt to get certain things. But boy, when you pay cash for it, you walk out. When we got our car, we paid cash for it. Said, here's the money for it. They didn't even bother to call up the bank and check to see if we had the money in there. We just wrote them the check and gave it to them. And we drove off. That car was ours. Yeah, but what happened if you wrecked it? I'd still have to make payments if it was the bank. And they'd make me pay every dime of it. But what about interest-free? Yeah, for the first year. After that, they start socking interest. I mean, you've got to realize what is going on here. This is all PC language. This is written so that they can understand and they can keep control of you. So whoever the feminists found this out back in the 60s. He who controls the language controls the society. And when you start controlling the language, you control everything else because now you can't but the language. The language becomes master. You cannot violate this. That's PC, politically correct. And we every country, this is not a new thing. It's been going on since the world, since they built Babylon or Babel. It's been going on since then. When man began to organize, the leaders always make it to their benefit. Hello. I mean, if you had the chance, wouldn't you make it to your benefit? Sure you would. It's called commerce. Nothing is for free. But in 1 Corinthians in 17, he says, we did not preach this gospel with wisdom of words. Now let's go on, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Wow. See, Paul is contrasting two wisdoms. He is saying in here, there is a wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. One is PC, one is truth. Now, so wisdom, but the wisdom of men can never know God. Now, the wisdom of men can tell you that there's an intelligent designer. You know, when they came up with the Big Bang Theory, the guy didn't, who came up with Big Bang, did not want to admit the Big Bang, did not want it's now universally accepted among most PC scientists, but at the time he didn't want anybody to even know about his theory about the Big Bang for one simple reason. This is what the guy himself said. Big Bang says there must be an origin. If there is an origin, there's got to be a creator. Nothing comes from nothing. But the Big Bang theory is once there was nothing, and then it exploded. And out of something that was so subatomic that it didn't exist, all that we know came into existence. Kind of like evolution. You know, did you read the other day? There's an article out about evolution that humankind evolved to love. Yes, that's not a natural thing. It's you evolved to love. It's like, how do we know that? Well, they got inspired from Mother Nature. Because there's no God, so we evolve. I love it when you read some of the scientific journals that says, well, this insect knew it had to evolve wings in order to escape its predator. Isn't that intelligent design? See, now man's wisdom can tell you certain things, but they can't reveal God to you because God is revealed. The knowledge of Christ comes through revelation. That's why some people sit in church and they hear sermon after sermon after sermon and they walk away and say, I just don't get it. That's because you're still trying to be PC and you're trying to fit everything into a cog and you're trying to get everything all worked out beforehand. You need to just trust God. You need to give your life over to Him. You need to begin to deny yourself and believe God. Because if you don't, you're saying you are the biggest thing in this universe. Well, I would never say that about me, but you just did. You are denying God and lifting up your own wisdom, your own understanding, the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men, and you're lifting that up over the wisdom of God. We're kind of like Job. Had lots of questions, and God finally sat Job down. Let me ask you a few questions. Where were you when I designed the dinosaur? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you at? And Job, I don't know. You know, it's like, no, you don't know. There's so much that you don't know, we could write a whole library and fill books up with what you don't know. There's just one down the street. You don't know that stuff. I don't know that stuff. But God knows everything. He put it all into place. It's not evolution that made you the way you are. It is the work of God that created you the way that you are. And he put the emotions in you, the feelings in you, the mind in you, and he even gave us in the new birth the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God in us. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself now. We need to understand God is greater and he knows more than we do. If you go down to still in 1 Corinthians to the chapter 1, verse 25, it says, because the foolishness of God is weaker than men and the weakness of God stronger than men. Well, how could God have created all this stuff? It was aliens. Aliens seeded the earth. Well, you know the old childhood argument, well, who created God? Well, who created the aliens if the aliens created life here? See, it's the same question. You still come back to the same point. Where did it all begin? I don't know. I can give you scientific articles, modern by non-believers, that are now starting to say we are nothing more than a hologram. This world doesn't even exist. It is a picture from the mind of God. I don't understand that either. It's like, none of this is real. Well, it is real. It is. We're not a hologram because God created us in his image. In that sense, we are a projection of him, but we're not a hologram. We're not that. But see, we're still trying to figure out everything, and we know so little we can't even figure it out. The Chinese had fireworks for hundreds of years before anybody realized you could use it to move mountains. They had it all the time. It was a plaything. I was thinking about this morning. Did you know that the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, about 1,000 years before Christ, invented the steam engine? Wow. Think of what that could have done for development. They didn't develop it. They didn't pursue it. They invented it. They didn't pursue it because they said, well, what are we going to do with all the slaves? What a situation to be in. So they said, this is worthless. Yeah, it'll do some stuff, but we got slaves to dig ditches. We don't need a steam engine to dig ditches. We don't need a railroad. We got ships and we got slaves that row the boats. You know, everything's cool. It's a PC. It's the wisdom of man. God's trying to give to us. They found, I like this one, they found a, I'm getting off track, but they found a an instrument in the ocean from an old ancient shipwreck here a few years ago. And it's about 500 years before it was invented. Wait a minute. Yeah, I said that right. They found the artifact in a boat of a navigation instrument for the oceans that wasn't invented till 500 years after the boat sunk. That's how little we know. Now they're trying to say, well, somebody, we must have lost that technology and then gained it back again. Because they found this navigation, and it would have taken them around the world. Now just think, if we had an EM pulse today, they say about probably 70 to 80% of Americans will die from an EM pulse. Why is that? Because we've lost the knowledge of agriculture. We've lost the knowledge of horticulture. We've lost the knowledge of animal husbandry. We've lost all those things. So if you put an EM pulse, you're going to kill about 70% of people in the United States. Are you worried yet? See, but man, we'll worry about all this, and God's not worried about it. So you can get so caught up in the wisdom and say, we don't know near as much as what we thought we knew. There's still so many things we don't. You can lose information and gain it back, and that's what we're doing with the Bible. By 1,000 years after Christ, the Bible had virtually been forsaken. The Bible had virtually disappeared. It was up with some monks up in Scotland and Wales that they hid the Bible away. And then when they started seeking for truth again, it started coming out. And when the Gutenberg press was invented, people finally got access to the Bible again. We are still, I can't emphasize this too much, we are still discovering the secrets of the Bible that have been lost for over 1,000 years. That's why it's fresh. And that's why some churches, well, we just don't believe that healing is for today. Well, I'm sorry, God disagrees with you. I'm going to agree with God. Well, what happens, Gordon, if you never see anybody healed? That's not the point. I'm going to agree with God. If I don't agree with God and agree with the wisdom of men, we'll never see anybody healed. Hello? If we don't believe in a new birth, we'll never see anybody born again. Why? We don't believe it. And God is trying to restore faith to us and restore wisdom to us so we can begin to see from God's perspective. Still in 1 Corinthians 1, let me read 25 again because it's just good. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. God knows more than we do. His foolishness is wiser than what we know. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. 26, for you see your calling, brethren. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. See, God is choosing the very things that the world has kicked out. As Debbie shared this morning as she was listening to that Christmas carol, and the soul finally found its worth. Mankind was cheap. Life was cheap. They most of them didn't believe in an afterlife. Most of them thought once you died, that was the end of it. So live for the pleasures, live for the moment, live for all. That sounds a lot like today. There's even churches, Christian churches, that are teaching there's no life after death. They're teaching that there's no heaven, there's no hell. This is all that there is. Well, if I would tell you this is all that there is, hopefully this wouldn't affect you. Why are you in church? Why are you wasting your time? It's because God has planted a wisdom on the inside of you that is not of this world. And that wisdom says there must be a creator, there must be a God, and I want to know who he is. And if there isn't a God, then where does that idea even come from? The fact that you're searching for a God is testimony that there is a God to search for. Otherwise, it would never even enter into your mind because no such thing would exist. Now, there's a long argument to back that up. But God puts those thoughts in us. And men that have rejected any concept of God are denying the reality. Do you know what sets apart men from animals when they dig up these graves and stuff? They find things buried with them for the afterlife. This is what separates us. We have always believed in God, that there is more to life than just what we see and experience in this world, in this realm. I need to go on. 1 Corinthians 1:29. Why does God choose the foolish things to shame the wise and the mighty? Why does he do these things? In 29 it says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's easy, isn't it? God doesn't want you to get so high-minded. He wants to show himself off, and he chooses the weak and the foolish things. I qualified. I still qualify. I get impressed sometimes about people who think I know so much. It's like, I don't know squat. Even the Bible, I know a little itty bitty bit. I have the mind of Christ, but I'm like a lot of you. I don't use it all the time. But I need to get out of my mind, amen? I need to get out of my thing and get into God's thinking. Because when I get into God's thinking, it's really sharp. Man, it's really fantastic what God can do. Have you ever just dreamed about possibilities? Why does the world not want you to do that? Why does the world want to keep you in a contained space? Because it's PC. Because you're non-threatening. But once you get a hold of the wisdom of God, oh, look out, world. See, the purpose that God chooses these things is that no flesh should glory in his presence. Here's an example of God's wisdom. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, this is why flesh cannot boast about anything good, because every good thing comes from God. You didn't create it. God created it. You just accessed it. Isn't that wonderful? So every time we take credit for doing something good, you just let God flow through you, because every good thing comes down from God. It comes down from our Heavenly Father. Now, let me give you this example out of Matthew 19:16-17. A leader came to Jesus and he said, it says, now behold, one came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. See, we say, well, look at the good that I've done. No, you didn't do anything, because the only one that is good is God. When I tell someone that they're a good man or a good woman, what I mean by that is I see God in you. The goodness that I see in you, the goodness is God. It's not you. It's the fact that there's a goodness of God in you that you're allowing to live and allowing to come out and you're allowing to manifest. So I'm complimenting, well, you're a good woman. Why? Because you have God. You're a good man. Why? Because you have God on the inside of you and you're living the goodness of God. You're letting him have access to your life. Amen? See, the thing is, you can't do anything to earn eternal life. Jesus in John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that you may know the one, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." See, eternal life, Zoe, is not about having the right doctrine. Eternal life is not about going to the right places. Eternal life is not about doing the right things. Eternal life is to know God. It's relationship. And that relationship tops everything else. And it's sad to me that so many Christians that are probably going to go to heaven have no active relationship with God. We're still living on the wisdom of the world. We're still trying to think Christianity in what man has said Christianity is instead of out of a relationship with God. That's why Jesus could take the disciples through a cornfield. And they could strip off the corn with their hands and eat it. And they got into trouble. It's a Sabbath day. This is work. You, to the Jews, you couldn't even, a physician could not heal a person on a Sabbath day because it was labor, it was work. That's why they got so upset when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. Now, today, we don't believe those things. We believe differently because we got a little bit of wisdom of God. Then we turned it into the wisdom of man. Now everybody works on Sabbath. Factories, everybody else. We just don't shut anything down. But now if you're Jewish and your ox fell into a ditch on the Sabbath, you could get him out. Now see, the wisdom of man says I can get my ox out of a ditch on the Sabbath. But if I'm sick, I can't call for a doctor to get me out of my ditch. They were putting the possessions to be of more value than the people of God. You say, well, that's wrong. That's humanity. That is the wisdom of men. Zechariah 4:6 reminds us, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, God doesn't choose the worldly wise or mighty or noble because he wants people to see the goodness of his salvation through us. And if he only calls the beautiful people, the elegant people, the gifted people, the intelligent people, and we say, well, I knew they would get it. Have you ever known someone like that? Everything falls into their lap and say, well, of course they would get saved. But God chose you and me because the world looks at us. When we got married, one of Debbie's relatives said, well, if Gordon ever does anything good, it's because of Debbie. Well, I agree with that to some degree because I don't want to get into trouble with my wife. No. But it's like, but there's certain things, you look at certain people and say, well, of course it would happen to them. And when you do that, you devalue yourself that it could never happen for me. I could never know God the way Gordon does. Yeah, you can. Listen, you can know God better than me. Better than me. Well, I don't know how I could... Oh, shut up. You demean yourself. You're putting yourself down. You know, I'm just trying to be thankful for those that God set above me. Look, God can set people above you that aren't as smart as you are. He can set people above you that you could excel them and run circles around them, but God understands authority, and maybe you just like to do things where they know how to organize something. And so you're going to be subservient to them because that's how God has set things up. See, it's not that God loves me more than you or you more than me. It's that he loves us with the love that he has. And he loves us with his person. And he wants us to all be in relationship with him. Amen. Still in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I want to hone in on this. I know we're about done, but God, Jesus, has become for us wisdom. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ Jesus? Do you just know about him, or are you in him? See, 2 Timothy 3:5 speaks about this worldly wisdom as having a form of godliness but denying its power. There's far too many people who call themselves Christians. We keep the outward appearance, but we deny the power of God to change lives, to change us. It says, and from such people turn away. See, this is worldly wisdom. They have a form. They have an outer appearance, but nothing has changed on the inside. They're not believing on God. They're not trusting Him for their salvation. They're just looking at the natural things. And so they conform their pattern. They go to church. They don't cuss. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't chew. They don't run around. They on the outside, they look like, boy, they have got it all together. And inside, they're empty. On the inside, they're hollow because they think if they do the right things, they'll be okay. And the problem is you do all the right things and you're still in trouble. Because you haven't changed. Because you don't believe in the power of God. So you keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And you keep asking, well, why doesn't this change? Why don't I get out of the problem I'm in? That's because of you. Can I just be straight? Because you keep doing the same things because you're not really trusting God. Because God will change you. Well, how do you know that? He changed me. See, I'm talking about experience here. Well, see, you only know me since I've been born again. I remember the old me. And I see things every now and then that pop up that remind me of the old me, and I don't like the old me. Because the old me was dead. The old me was dying. The old me was, oh, he was old. I don't want that. I want to be fresh in Christ. I want to be fresh in his mercies. Amen. See, now, I want you to understand something. Jesus does not have wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. Jesus told us that if we have seen him, we have seen the Father. See, true wisdom comes from above. It comes from the Father of lights that doesn't change. It doesn't come from reading books. It comes from experiencing the Heavenly Father. Now, I'm not saying don't read books because you can get access to things, but you've got to experience, not just read books. It's more than just making quotes. It's more than just reciting things that you've overheard others say. It's when it gets down on the inside of you and it changes who you are. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. That means he's not upset with you. If you go to God and say, God, I don't know anything. God, I need your help. He goes, okay, fine. He doesn't say, I always knew you were stupid. Because if he says that, guess what? You're stupid. Because what God says is the way it is. If God says you're stupid, forget about learning anything. You know, it's not God that says you can't know him. It's you that tell yourself, I can never know God. Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. He says, come unto me, and I'll give you these things. We go, well, how do I get it? He just told you. You've got to forsake yourself. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to get out of your PC thinking. You got to get out of that. Jesus is wisdom unto me. Well, what's the wisdom? Well, he calls the very people that the world rejects. He calls the weak and gives them his power and his strength. Ooh, that is the wisdom of God. All things are possible for him who believes. All things are possible for God. Amen. See, at the new birth, Jesus, who is the expression of God's wisdom, came into your spirit. You have wisdom. We're just not accessing it. It's like, I've got books at home. I've got gobs of books. I haven't recently made a list of all the books I haven't read, but I'll bet I have got anywhere between 30 and 50 books I haven't read yet. There's wisdom in those books, but I haven't accessed it. Well, why do you have the books? Just in case. If I need to know something, I got a book with a title on it. I'll go grab the book and read the highlights. You know, I go back and look at my old books, and I look at parts I underline and parts I've highlighted. Why? Because they speak to me. But there's times I need to review. I need to go back into that. Oh, God, Lord, I need help. I need help. I need wisdom. So Jesus is unto me wisdom. He's made unto me wisdom. See, the Christian life, now get this, the Christian life is not difficult to live. It is impossible to live by the wisdom of men. You can never do it. If you're running around like a dog chasing his tail and you just never seem to arrive, you're probably trying to operate the kingdom of God out of your own natural wisdom, and you can't do it. It is impossible to live without faith. It is impossible to get what God has for us just by our own efforts and our own ability. See, the wisdom of the world is to use the fear of force to make people choose the politically correct way. There's always the threat of force. If you don't do this, we're going to... And it's like, all it is to get you into a certain way of thinking, a certain way of doing things so that men can control you. The world shames you into cooperation. Just watch the news. If you don't agree with me, well, you're just stupid. Climate deniers should go to re-education camps. It's been 16 years now. There's been no global warming. That's what science says. That's not my belief. That's what science is saying. It's like, do you listen? We believe in science. We're not like you flat earthers. Oh, let me tell you something. Maybe this will be my final doggy trail. I don't know. But the flat earth concept never came from the Jews or the church. The world thought the earth was flat. It wasn't the church. Christopher Columbus read the Bible. He read about the circle of the earth. He said it must be true, so I can navigate the globe. And he set out to find the new world. He thought he'd found China. He didn't realize there was a continent in between. What was it? Copernicus, getting into big names here, that plotted that the planets and the orbits and things like that. He was a Christian. When he came out and said, hey people, the earth isn't flat like you've been told by the PC crowd. We're actually a globe, and there's planets that orbit and all this stuff. It was the PC crowd in the church that called him a heretic. But he was a believer. He read the Bible, started doing some observational science, and discovered things that we now accept as common. But in his day, it wasn't common. In his day, they still believe Atlas held up the earth. Well, who is Atlas? He wasn't a Christian. The church believed Atlas was... We would believe Jesus Christ is holding up the world. Amen? Not Atlas and four turtles. Come on, get real here. But everybody said that the church believed... The church never believed it. Now, the true church, but the world did. And as the world influences the church, and that's a problem with the church today, the world has too much influence, and so we don't even believe the Bible anymore. We say, well, what did the Pope say about it? What did this person say about it? What did the prophet say about it? Well, read the Word of God. It explains it to us. The Word of God is true, and you can live on it. Hebrews 2, chapter 2. Go here with me. See, in Christ, and this is the wisdom of God, I am free from the wisdom of men. Hallelujah. The world shames you into cooperation, but the wisdom of God says you are free from the dominion and the fear of men. That's why the world and religious people don't like you to get freedom. They just don't believe in the Holy Ghost anymore. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus did. He said, I'll send the Holy Ghost and he'll live on the inside. Well, we believe that was only for the early church. Where do you get that out of Scripture? Oh. Well, it's in there. Well, you know, the Bible says that tongues will pass away one day. Yeah, it does say. Well, see, then that means it's passed away. No, it says one day. It says when that which is perfect comes, it'll pass away. But it also says wisdom will pass away. Duh. I don't, you know, all these intellectuals, if you believe tongues has passed away because the perfect has come, I guess the perfect has come to where all wisdom has passed away too. So Read it. What it says. So you can't cherry pick. If the perfect has come and tongues has passed away, then the perfect has also come and wisdom has passed away. So all these people talking about PC wisdom, they don't have a clue what they're talking about because of their own argument. Anyway, have you found Hebrews 2? Hebrews 2:14 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, the devil always uses fear. Always uses fear to try to force you into a particular way of thinking. Well, if you don't believe this, you'll lose your salvation. If you don't pay the church this much money, you'll end up in purgatory. Then you got to buy your way out of it. Where do you find that in the Bible? You don't. So where do they get it from? Fear. Fear. But fear. Well, if you cross the church, you could go to hell. Well, what if I'm believing the Bible? You know, some of the great Bible scholars were burned at the stake, were killed, murdered because of heresy, because they believed the Bible. When the Holy Spirit broke out in 1901 in the United States, they started putting people in jail. They started kicking them out of churches. Up until 25 years ago, and maybe even today, there's still churches that will put you out if you believe and practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They believe you're demonic. Well, what's the problem? They don't know God. Or are you saying you know more than them? I'm saying that eternal life, Zoe, is having a right relationship with God. And I'm saying there's a lot of people that they believe that God exists, but they only have a form of godliness because they don't know who God is. Jesus warned us. He said, you can blaspheme me, but if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, some of these people are on dangerous grounds. I'm just glad I'm not the judge. I'm glad I don't have that responsibility. But I do know that even what I don't understand, if I'm in relationship with the Father, he'll let me know what I need to know. Did you catch that? He'll let me know what I need to know. He's not going to tell me about things that I'm not bothered about or that I'm not involved in. He's going to tell me what I need to know. He's a personal God. He helps us. But Christ destroyed him who had the power of death and released us who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus has set you free. This is the wisdom of God, that he set me free. Not to just do anything I wish, but he set me free. I can serve God without fear. I can pursue after God because if I'm in relationship with him, if God be for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter. Romans chapter 8, final verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons, mature sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. See, if I have the Spirit of God in me, it cries out, Abba, Father. It doesn't hide. It's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. This is the wisdom of God. He is leading us into that same wisdom that Jesus had with the Father. Because he called God Father. Father God. And he taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Wisdom. Wisdom of God is not just found in natural things, but wisdom of God is found in a right relationship with the Father. That we would know him, experience him, walk with him on a regular basis. This is who God is. He wants to set you free from fear. And there are so many people, I listen to so many different ministers on TV, and so many of them are talking about fear. They're always witnessing to people the fear that is in people. And it's incredible the fear that is limiting Christians. That's a work of the devil. Once you figure that out, you ought to just stomp your foot and say, I'm not fearing anymore. Fear will have no part in me. Why? I've got the wisdom of God. I am no longer bound by fear because Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil and he has set me free. And if I'm going to follow God, I'm going to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. That fear will no longer dominate me. Boy, you get renewed to that, you are dangerous to the enemy because he can't shut you up. I'm sorry, we don't raise our hands in church. Well, you need to go to another church. I'm not saying you have to. You don't have to raise your hands. But if they have a rule, we don't do that in our church. We can't raise hands. They're quenching the spirit. There's sometimes at a baseball game or a football game, somebody does something, and you just shoot your arm up and they go, yeah, go! Why can't we do that for God? I'm sorry, we don't do that here. We don't believe in emotion. I was raised in church. It's like everybody smiled after they got out of the sanctuary. But in the sanctuary, we couldn't smile. I have to be serious about God. Yeah, God's serious about you. He wants you to get over fear. He wants you to receive his wisdom and be free from the things of the world. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we give you praise that you have redeemed us from fear. God, you have paid the price to set us free. God, you have given us the wisdom that belongs to you. The wisdom that is in Jesus Christ, for he has made unto us wisdom. And God, we give you praise for this wisdom that you've endued us with, the person of Jesus Christ, that we would be free from the things of this world, and we would be free, Father, to serve you with gratitude, to serve you, Father, from the root of our heart, knowing, God, that we are your children, that we belong to you, that we are the house of God and the family of God. And Father, we give you praise for this, that you have adopted us and our spirits now cry out, Daddy God. Daddy, we come to you with every need, every situation, because you're our daddy. And we just cry out for you, God. Lord, help us to understand your reality. Help us, God, to know who you are and grow up into you, Father, to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.